This week, news of what could probably be Africa's most draconian anti-LGBTQI laws came before the Ghanaian parliament. A draft bill seeks long-term jail terms for LGBTQI plus people in that West African country. If passed, it could see harsh penalties imposed on those within that community of up to 10 years. Also, it gives scope for people to tattle, to whistleblow on people who they believe or suspect to be gay, lesbian, or transsexual. In fact, even having conversations about LGBTQI plus on public platforms would also be declared illegal. So this conversation that I'm having now would mean jail terms for myself, the producers, and our next guest. Savuka Matiela is an advocacy officer at Gender Dynamics. South Africa does not have a sterling human rights record when it comes to LGBTQI plus people. South Africa is possibly the only, it is the only country which allows full rights for LGBTQI plus people. What is your thoughts on coming out, particularly of what we've seen come out of Ghana, but also in neighboring Nigeria over the last few months or years? So when it comes to anti-LGBTQI plus legislation going through those legislatures, Savuka?
Good day, Leslie, and thank you for having me on the call. Good morning to the listeners as well. This is actually quite disturbing as we see the events progressing in terms of human rights and awareness of the transformation that's needed on the ground and the inclusion of diverse and marginalized communities as part of the national ethos and international ethos as seen with human rights international frameworks. And so to see that the fellow neighboring countries aren't as progressive in the sense really is questioned in terms of what type of politic is currently being motioned forward, who is funding certain said political acts to criminalize LGBTI people, and what are we exactly alluding from? In the conversation of trying to understand the diaspora, there are a lot of issues Africa needs to focus on in terms of elevating its economic status, understanding how relations can be strengthened between countries to make sure that we have more sustainable living for our people. There are health issues that need to be focused on broadly to make sure that our sense of livelihood is cemented and is progressive. But the focus on these LGBTI laws seems to be a scapegoat of sorts from focusing the real problem here, because we realize that LGBTI people are people who warrant human rights across the board, and really the sexuality and gender identities of LGBTI people aren't an issue for politics. So it's not an issue of denying people access to anything, or preventing social reform or social progression. But really, it's a scapegoat from actually addressing the real issues that politicians need to be looking at the moment, which aren't currently necessarily in motion.
South Africa is definitely not perfect. We have our own issues of prejudice, discrimination, particularly when it comes to issues of corrective rape here in South Africa. We've recently been through a spate of murders perpetrated about members on members of the LGBTQI plus community. South Africa is definitely not perfect, but in terms of our legislation and our constitution, it provides some level. It does provide levels of protection, legislated protection, for members of the LGBTQI plus community. Also, what's very important to some people, including marriage. But the South African government and other governments within the African continent would largely argue that is the internal laws of sovereign countries is something that we cannot comment on, or it's something that we cannot impose on. But what responsibilities do you think a country like South Africa in voicing its opinion, for example, at a forum like the African Union?
all countries, I believe, do have a sense of sovereignty in being able to cater to the specific needs of the country outside of perhaps what the influence would be externally from other neighboring countries or internationally. But there is a sense of recognition that the international laws has an understanding human rights as an intrinsic value or an intrinsic ideal that each of us, each one of us has outside of how our country understands us engaging or having access to those rights. So we understand that different constitutions would cater differently for the people who are the citizens in that country. But the human rights affords people the basic understanding of this right, that rights is something that you are born with, you have a right to live, you have a right to eat, you have a right to access healthcare, education, etc. And so in order to speak to the development, I think that's largely essential to the kind of social progression that we look for and to enhance the livelihood of people. We need to be able to speak to the advancements of those rights, recognizing that international human rights that do cater for protection against violence, access to health, access to a well engaged life that is free of violence and free of harsh realities. Mm. That is an essential element of humanity that we all need to uphold. And so South Africa is one such country that can speak to that, as other neighboring countries and international countries spoke to South Africa during apartheid, understanding that race relations, segregation, enforced racial prejudice is not something that is dignifying, is not something that is honing of equality, honing of self respect. And so we need to then be able to speak to that and say, okay, we recognize that there is a certain infringement that's happening, a certain limitation here in this country. And in order to be able to enhance the idea of international human rights, a shared framework that everyone can move from, that we need to be able to speak to that, regardless of our sovereignty. So I think South Africa could also have an input, whether that be engaging sanctions as during the apartheid system that was imposed on South Africa, or other means to inform the international courts and laws to speak to these.
But Savuka, with your suggestion of South African imposing sanctions, we look at the African Union, we look at the African Court for Human and People's Rights, which is supposed to entrench human rights in African countries. I don't necessarily hold my breath.
Can you repeat that, please?
I don't hold my breath for any action from South Africa or the AU.
We as the civil society recognize that rights are something that aren't necessarily restricted to the country. And so it's important that civil society also speaks up, understanding that the national legislature and particularly perhaps the government structures won't necessarily have a forceful hand towards speaking towards that. But rights aren't, again, there aren't necessarily things that you can just outweigh and avoid at your own whim and will, but something that we should be consistent in. And as South Africa, we also recognize the Constitution as a kind of a primary law of the land that we...
Savuka Matiela, he is an advocacy officer, or they are advocacy officer at Gender Dynamics. Thank you so much for your time here on The Morning Review.